Praise you, the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your great goodness unto us, Lord. Your loving kindness made new. Lord, quicken us with that loving kindness, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we enter into the new week in your name, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the past week, your great faithfulness, daily loading us with benefits. Father, we thank you. You're watching over us, Lord, wherever we go, accompany us, Lord, whether we are in the house or in the street or walking or driving. We thank you for your divine protection in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, supplying our need. Lord, we worship you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, your word, Lord, as we read this morning, Lord, bless the reading of it, Father. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Can somebody read the Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, please? Anybody at all? Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The things which must shortly come to pass, and the time is at hand, amen. It's a book of prophecy. Let us pray. Bible says, Revelation 19, 10, says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, amen.
Amen.
So we want to take it from there by the grace of God this morning. Revelation 11, the first three verses to go. I'm going to read from there. And some of the things which we shall come to pass is in this chapter. Some of the things which must surely come to pass in this chapter, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, Revelation 11, 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple lift out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Praise you, the Lord Jesus. So the Bible is prophesying that it be a temple in Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are talking of the thing which shortly come to pass, right? The Bible is prophesying here of it. It's a book of prophecy, right? Thing that will shortly come to pass and so on. So now, so talking of a temple to be built in Jerusalem and so on. Now, the question I want to ask is this. This temple, you know, that he's talking about here, when will it be built? Is it before the rapture or after the rapture? See, we know the Bible says, we know. Let's see what the Bible says anyway. Apostle John had been in heaven previous to this vision of the two witnesses. As we are told in Revelation chapter 4, let me read that one also, 4:1. As he had been in heaven before, I'm asking to really be sure that this event will occur after the rapture, right? So that's what I'm not trying to get at here as well. After this, meaning after the church age has passed, Revelation 1 to 3 and so has passed, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
So this morning, I'm talking about the tribulation temple. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
the tribulation temple. You know, so that is explained by the grace of God. So now in that chapter 4, we know that Apostle John, being a representative of the church, the apostle's experience depicts the rapture of the church. Absolutely. It's one of the many scriptures about the rapture. The ministry of the two witnesses must therefore refer to a time subsequent to the rapture. This thing we know here already by now, but I just want to talk about them like that as well as you know. It has to be subsequent to the rapture, as I'm going to see in the Bible right now. Somebody said, I have to be packing our load, right? The church age has already ended, known at this time, that Apostle Latin this chapter and so on. The seven golden candlesticks, which are the seven churches, as we are told in Revelation 1:20, are not seen anymore at this time in Revelation 4. What does this mean? It means that a change in dispensation has occurred. A Jewish temple has been built in Jerusalem, and God recognizes it, though it must be measured by the rod. Jerusalem, even though it must be purged also with judgment, now comes into prophetic view at this time, you know, in Revelation 11, and it's called the Holy City, as we read in the earlier verses of Revelation 11 there. Again, that is called the Holy City, meaning that there is another, indicating that we have a change in dispensation, all it means. Now, let's look at what John was given a rod, and what does that really mean, you know, before I go into the message proper and so on. We always know in the Bible, as we are told in the book of Isaiah 10, the 5th and the 6th verses, a rod is an instrument of a punishment. Also, it's an instrument of measurement, you know. It means they mean the same thing at the same time. Instrument of judgment and measurement. Let me see where it means judgment in Isaiah 10, the 5th verse. O Assyria, the rod of my anger, the Lord said, and the staff in their hand is my indignation. Yeah, the staff in their hand, Assyria is my indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him. A charge. To take the spoil and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the street. Well, as the rod being measurement, we all know that when you purchase a property, maybe a land or things like that, you know, or a house or something like that, there must be a survey and an inventory, you know, when you purchase a land or things like that, you know. Then a general cleaning, of the property and things like that, you know. So John has a rod because why? He is an apostle, right? And he is a divinely instituted representative of the church. And the church is to take part in judging the world, as we are told in many scriptures here. I will read two of them here, just for edification and so on. And we will see our future position, what we did. Well, at this age, we may be a little better than the angels, meaning man, but in the age to come, not so. We are going to judge the world. 1 Corinthians 6:2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Like I said before, in this age, we are a little lower than the angels, and see what they are more intelligent, they know more things than us, but not in the age to come, you see. Anyway, and how much more things that pertain to this life. So I'm talking about, you know, so how Apostle John and so on, that, you know. So anyway, also in even the Old Testament, tell us in Psalm 149, verse 5 through 9, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their dead. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, and the punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron. to execute the upon them the judgment written. And this all of the Bible says, have all the saints. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Small and great, all the saints, they have this honor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So one of the most important time identification in the Bible is to know that it tells us exactly where the two witnesses will minister. Very, very pinpointed, in the book of Revelation, where they come on the scene. And so let us look at them. Verse 3 of where I read before in Revelation 11. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in a sackcloth. I know I'm talking about the tribulation temple, but just a little while, just prefacing it before I go to that message proper. In other words, the ministry of the two witnesses will span a period of 1260 days, which is 42 months or 3.5 years, according to 30 days to a month, right? That's the prophetic month measurement, I think that, Now, again, Revelation 13 verse 5 says this. And there was given unto him, meaning the beast or the Antichrist, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So we see that they are the beast or the Antichrist, who reigns during the Great Tribulation, is in full power for 42 months or 3.5 years. And like we read before, this is the same length of time, right, that the two witnesses prophesied, as we read before. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus. We are, as the Bible pinpointed when they come on the scene, and I'm just reading verses of scripture to really prove that is when they come on the scene. One more scripture to pinpoint when they come on this, in these two witnesses and so on, that, Revelation, verse 11, verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. So here we are told that the Antichrist will kill the two witnesses and so on. So we see with all those scriptures, we know that that when they come on the scene, these two witnesses will be during the great tribulation. It's when they really come up and begin their testimony and their prophecy and so on. Now back to this temple that I'm talking about now. Now the instructions given to Apostle John were the Lord's way of showing us what? Showing that the Gentile time has come to an end. Somebody say, you say packing your bags, right? Is showing all that the Gentile times has come to an end by the thing that he gave John in this chapter 11, the book of Revelation and so on. And that the time of the Jews has begun. That's what he's telling him right here in that 11th chapter, the first 3 verses and so on. Luke 21:24, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, the Lord said. So now we see that the time left for the Gentiles is being limited at the time the event of Revelation 11 begins to kick in. So we now see that the time left for the Gentiles is being limited to only 42 months, as announced in those first three verses. So this present church dispensation began with the Jews. Until they finally rejected the gospel, the church was originally Jewish in the beginning. Until they rejected the gospel, the Gentile dispensation began. So let me get back to Acts chapter 18, where that really occurred, verse 6 of Acts 18. So, and when they, meaning the Jews at Corinth, I put that one there, when they oppose themselves, if you read the whole thing, that the Jews at Corinth actually oppose themselves and blasphemed, he, meaning Paul, shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own head, he said, I am clean, for henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. See, the measurement of the time of the Gentiles, our times are really up. We are in transition time, really. That's what I'm trying to say. So the last 2,000 years has been the Gentile dispensation, really. For it is evident that the gospel was first presented to the Jews, like I said before. But because of their own belief, they were cut out from their own olive tree, that the Bible tells us. And the Gentiles grafted in. So we are told, however, that the Jews will be grafted back, in the end, when the fullness of the Gentile will come in. The fullness of the Gentile will come in. I think it is good to read that part of scripture right now. Romans 11. I will read 21 to 25 of Romans 11. Yeah, it's time to remind us of these scriptures. The time is really at hand. For this to be fulfilled, that we read either in the book of Revelation, the time is at hand, really. Now, Romans 11, 21. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Talking to the Gentiles. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fear severity. But towards thee, meaning the Gentiles, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou Gentiles, I put that one there, also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is white by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, meaning the Jews, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I will not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, not forever, I put that one there, until the fullness of the Gentiles will come in, and the time is at hand, amen? Praise the Lord. When the fullness of the Gentiles is coming in, Bible says the time is at hand. So anyway, so with the taking of the church age, with the taking of the church out of the world, the rapture, God turns back to the Jew to begin grafting them into the good olive tree. The exhortation of the Gentile terminates at that time, and the Jew is brought again into view. God's recognition of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem will happen. The tribulation temple, they call it, is an indication of a change in the dispensation also, And it is the time for the body of the fig tree really in all its fullness, and for God's recognition of the Jew. The great bulk of the Jews will continue right on in unbelief and suffer judgment. That's what the Bible says, how it is good. But there is a remnant, however, whose unbelief is melting away. Even as we talk right now, they are getting safe here and there. People are ministering in Israel today. Not only due people are ministering in Israel today and different parts, maybe even everywhere in the world, they are preaching the gospel to the Jews. We know they will be saved as a nation. But here and there, they are being saved one here, one there, and so on like that, So anyway, if you are publicly accepting Christ, even today, some of those Jews and so on, as Messiah, others have been secretly convinced that he is the one who was to come. I always think this way. I say, even if they don't all know, we witness to them, so when those two witnesses come to them, they will preach the same gospel we have, amen? So they make it easier for them. Oh, this just have been preaching to us, So we preach the two witnesses anyway, in one way or the other. So the need, of evangelizing the Jew today is very, very important. We witness to everybody, both Jew and Gentiles and so on at this time. So, God to Apostle John, not to measure the cost of the Gentiles. Why? This is because the Gentiles are no longer in the reckoning with Israel when that begins to strike, that time begins to strike and so on. Their presence is, in Jerusalem is considered out of place at that time, you know, when they appear, our time is up. Yet, for a short season, God will suffer the Gentiles to profane the court of the temple as a means of chastening Israel. You allow it. So the measurement of the temple, the altar, and its worshippers, as we are told, are the receiving back of the Jew, actually. That's what it really means, you know. Because God now recognized their temple. So all those things that he told John to do is the receiving back of the Jew. The casting out of the court of the Gentiles means what? Represents the diminishing and cutting off of the Gentiles from their present status. Change in dispensation. Bible says the things which must shortly come to pass, right? You know, we are living in those days now. Things are happening overnight, you know, everywhere and all that, you know. So anyway, just as the Jewish church in its time was corrupt and rejected Christ, so the Gentile Laodicean church, which is an apostasy that we see today everywhere all over the world, is now rejected and spewed out of Christ's mouth. You know, he warned them, warned the Gentiles, Revelation 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will put it out of my mouth. We are in the Laodicean age. Maybe it's any today or tomorrow, I don't know, but we are there. And we can see lukewarm everywhere. So that's the way it's going to end with the Gentile era. So, and then that is just to the Jews. So what a time we are living in, really. Now, the temple described in Revelation 11, we know this, but I'm going to say it, is neither the old temple of Herod, nor the millennial temple, which is supposed to be in the future, can be. Again, simple thing that we all know here, but you know, we are living in this world of internet and things like that, you know, we have to just spell everything out as much as we can. Praise the Lord. The old temple, as we know, was built by Herod, was destroyed in 70 AD in fulfillment of the Lord's prophecy in Matthew 24:1, which I can take liberty to read. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And of course, the book of Revelation was written in 96 AD, right? So I'm saying that, so it cannot, you know, this temple in Revelation 11 cannot refer to Herod's temple, amen? Praise the Lord. That is the point I'm making. So people are thinking all kinds of things, you know, and we have to just spell them out like ABC. Praise the Lord. Much when you have children around us and so on that, you know. So anyway, so the book of 96 AD, when the book of Revelation was written, and the temple was destroyed, of course, in 70 AD by Titus and his general and his army and so on. So it cannot return to that. It can't refer to the temple in Revelation 11 can't refer to Herod's temple at all. It's impossible, because Revelation is a book of prophecy, right? Now, when the Lord turned the Jews and their temple over for judgment, what did he tell them in Matthew 28:38? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, he told them, to the Jews and so on. So throughout the church dispensation, one locality is as holy as another to worship God. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I'm telling you that the temple was gone and something like that, you know. So throughout the church age, the Lord let us to know that, any place in the world you can worship. Yeah, in John chapter 4, the woman said, where? They say that only on that mountain you will worship and so on. Well, I perceive that I'm a prophet. Let me now get a prophet answer to this question of whether I like to worship a man, so and so. What did the Lord tell her in John 4:21? Woman, believe me, the hour is coming where ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So we see, so it is during the dispensation of the, you know, of the church, the temple in Jerusalem are being destroyed. One location is as good as other. If I have chance, I will go to Israel, amen. Not because to go and pray, amen. Praise the Lord. Not because to go and worship, amen. I can go there for vacation. Praise the Lord. So I can worship anywhere in the whole wide world. Some people want to go there because they want to go and pray there. Even they have what you have told us. That is that, but by the way, anyway. So now, regarding the, it cannot be a millennial temple rather. It can't be the millennial temple really, you know. So let me talk about that and so on. Then I'll come back to the tribulation temple. So we are told that the Christ will build the millennial temple when he comes back. So therefore Revelation 11 couldn't have been referring to the millennial temple at all. Amen? Let me show you in the Bible where we are told that the Lord will build the millennial temple. So I eliminated the temple of error. Revelation 11 can't be referring to the temple of error. That is past. And it cannot be the millennial temple because of what the scripture says, that will be built by Christ. So we are told in Ezekiel 38 to 42, I won't read it because it's plenty of scripture. So that this next temple will be measured and built after the battle of Armageddon. That's what the scripture says. That is a lot of scripture. Ezekiel 38 through 42. You know, tell you all of those. That the next temple will be built after the battle of Armageddon. We are further told in the sixth chapter of Zechariah, which I can read that, that the man called the branch will build that temple and sit upon the throne. Zechariah 6, 12 and 13, I will read. And they speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Praise the Lord Jesus. He himself will be the, you know, the builder of the millennial temple, in the nutshell, by prophecy and so on. Now, back to our tribulation temple and so on in Jerusalem. Bible measure, talk about two time periods in Revelation 11, 2 to 3. Let's identify them and what they mean. Back to Revelation 11, 2 and 3. But the court which is without the temple, leave out. And measure it not, for it is given into also the Gentiles, and the holy city they shall tread under foot 40 and 2 months. That's one time period right there, 40 and 2 months, meaning 3.5 years, right? Counting 30 days a month. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. Now, so we see the first time period is 42 months, right? Or 3.5 years. And, so we see that right here. And we know this refers to the very first half of Daniel's 70th week. I'm going to put it in the book of Daniel too, you know. So it refers that first section of the book of Revelation. It means the first half of Daniel's 78th week. Just, you know, it ties into that one. I'm supposed to see that now. So anyway, so and the second time period that in Revelation 11, 3, also 3.5 years, right? According to that one. So that one refers actually, you call it 1260 days, right? Again, that's 42 months, right? That ties into the Daniel, the second, the Daniel's 78th week, the second half of it, half of it. That 78th week, of course, so there are 7 years in there. So the first verse, second verse of 11 of Revelation means the first half of that 78th week. They don't run concurrently. They run sequentially. Amen. Praise the Lord. That if you look at the Bible, what we see really, you know. So that first 2 months means the first half of that 70th week. The 1260 days, which also for the 2 months, is the Daniel 70th week, second half of it, and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so let's look at what the Bible says in Daniel 9:27, tying all together what I'm talking about. That 7 week, I mean that 70th week. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, you see that, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that the turning shall be poured upon the desolate. So we see that there, the week of 7 years begins when the prince that shall come for the Antichrist makes a covenant with the Jews and permits them to build or rebuild their temple. That's when it begins, and so on, the beginning of the 70th week, and so on. And that covenant is mentioned in Isaiah 28. And I want to read that 20 long, 15 to 18, is right there. The covenant of death, that Isaiah prophesied, and so on, that you know. And how it will be disannulled in those Isaiah 28, 15 to 18 verses, and so on, that you know. So in the midst of the week, meaning end of the first 3 and a half years, what happened? The Antichrist will break the covenant. And then commences terrible persecution against the Jews and all who worship Jehovah. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, the Bible says. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. The Lord Jesus Christ made a special reference to this blasphemous event in the 24th chapter of the book of Gospel of Matthew. Let me read verse 15 and 16 of what the Lord said about this time. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So, and the Lord added more information in verse 21, you know, talking about the abomination of desolation and so on, that it will mark the beginning of the great tribulation. That way I'm going to. So he added more in verse 21, that abomination, when it shows up, the abomination and so on, that will be the beginning of the great tribulation. Let me read verse 21 of Matthew 24. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No. Nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, the Lord said. So we notice that the Lord gives warning against false Christ and so on in different parts of the gospel. We are also given additional information about the man of sin by the writings of Apostle Paul. I want to read that also. Because I'm talking about the tribulation temple, right? So it's a different dimension and some of that, you know. So Apostle Paul, by divine inspiration, wrote about it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to begin from verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin, he revealed the son of perdition. I can say in our day, the things which will shortly come to pass, really. You know, I said another thing. And who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he, as God, seated in the temple of God. Which temple? The tribulation temple. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Showing himself that he is God. Which one can he be? Since this was written nothing of such has ever happened, right? It's referring to what is happening in the desert in heaven, you know, the tribulation temple and some of that, you know. That's what he's talking about here, you know, and let's see here. And this apparently means that when the Antichrist breaks his covenant in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, he will forbid the sacrifice and the oblation which the Jews have resumed in accordance to their, I mean, with their ancient custom. He will stop it. The beast will forbid the worship of anyone but himself, and will show himself in the temple that he is God, as the scripture has said. What is this abomination of desolation there? The abomination of desolation is blasphemous profanation of the temple. That is the abomination of, you know, of desolation when he profaned the temple. That the Lord was talking about as well. And the Lord refers to the book of Daniel and things like that, you know. This event will usher in the great tribulation. As soon as he enters that temple and say, I'm God, that is where the great tribulation begins, according to the scriptures here. The Lord says so in so many places and things like that, you know. So many have thought that the mosque of Omar, people have been warning. Now we know the Jews are, they are ready to build that temple anytime. They got everything ready. The Orthodox Jews, and you know, they have everything for that temple ready and so on and that, you know. People are happy misunderstanding. They are thinking that, oh, they think that maybe the mosque of Omar, this Mohammedan shrine, must be thrown down before the tribulation temple can be built. That's not true according to the scripture. I want to show from the scripture. That's not true. They are saying, oh, they call it the shrine is there, the mosque of Omar is there. No, they are going to run concurrently. They are going to be built by each other. Amen? Well, if you don't, let's see what the Bible says. Don't say anything that. Now, this is obviously not true. They are not going to put it there before they build the temple. Even the scripture we read this morning tell us that same thing. For we are told that the court, which is without the temple, is given to the Gentiles, right? Now the Bible says in Revelation 11, 1 to 3. This means that the temple property at that time is still in the hands of the Gentiles when the Jewish temple is built. It has to be. According to what the Bible says, why is so that the court is given to the Gentiles, right? And the temple is there and John is measuring it. So they are still there at that time. You know, so it is obvious that the Arab nations will resist the destruction of their temple or their shrine, if what you call it, with a fanatical intensity. If that's why the government is second six, you can't destroy it. You're going to cause, I don't know what you call it really, you know, it will rouse the enmity of every Arab in the world against the beast if it tries to put down that dome and so on, they call it and so on, that, you know. And you know what? Delta class himself is smart in a way. Bible says it's wiser than Daniel, right? In some things, you know. He is wise in a way, and you know, foolish with your colleagues and so on, that, you know. So when he rises to power, he's a smooth operator. And he will hardly antagonize the whole Arab world. He's smarter than that, you know. He won't do that. What will happen is that when he makes a covenant with the Jews, he will work out a temporary solution to the Jewish-Arab controversy. See? In the covenant that he will make with them, you know? So the Jewish temple will be permitted to be built, not over the mosque of Omar, but somewhere around the same, temple property and all that, you know? So they define it together. That's why, you know, they say the outside court is given to the Gentiles, right? They are there together at the same time and so on like that, you know. So anyway, and his covenant will also provide for an open border between Israel and Jordan. I'm going to put out scripture to back these things up. I always like to bring things from scripture. Proper reading of Revelation 11, 1 to 3, he won't tell you that even if you're going to put down the Gentile anything, don't measure it. That's it. You know, I mean, the Jesus era is finished. So they're going to run concurrently. But we'll see what happens to them later and so on like that, you know. So this covenant will also provide an open border between Israel and Jordan, so that the Jews could flee to the mountains when the Antichrist breaks the covenant. That is in Matthew 24, a lot of verses in that to read. So that it provides a way between Israel and Jordan where they can flee, those who want to flee, those who want to hear the word of the Lord and so on, and flee from the Antichrist and so on. Now, let me show you something interestingly. Jordan joined Britain and the U.S. to intercept the drones fired at Israel back in April. Is that right? Okay. Even this month, October 1, they joined the U.S. to intercept the ballistic missile fired at Israel from Iran. Is that right? And so the attackers will provide a gateway for people to be able to flee from Israel to Jordan, as to when the attackers begin to issue the mark and so on, to kill them and so on, Now, one more thing is this. Do you know that Israel and the Jordan signed a peace treaty which is 30 years old this month? Back in October 26, 1994, Israel and Jordan signed a peace treaty that will be 30 years old on Saturday. Okay, that's one thing. So the 42 months of Revelation 11:2 is the first half, maybe repeating myself now, of Daniel 78th week, when the Jews begin their worship in the tribulation temple. During this period, the Arabs, calling them the Gentiles, will continue their worship in the mosque of Omar, which is the court without the temple, just as Revelation 11 has said. In the middle of the week, the Antichrist will break his covenant and interrupt the Jewish temple worship. This is a sign for godly Jews to flee to the wilderness in Moab and Edom in Jordan. That's what it means, and so on, that you know. Now, in the official events, they cast a shadow before, right? So, some prophecies have double, triple fulfillment. This has happened before. Why Jews flee from that place to Jordan? Interestingly, history recorded that the Jewish followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they heed the Lord's warning and fled to Pella in Jordan for safety before Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD by Titus. That's right. It's a prophecy that has double fulfillment and so on. It happened back then. Now, 4 years before that thing, invasion in 70 AD of destruction of Jerusalem, there was a darkness comet. A comet that was seen in AD 66, just before Titus come and destroy Jerusalem. There was a comet, bright and so on, that showed up at that time. The fanatical Jews did not flee at that time. They didn't hear the Lord's warning. The Messiah will come and save us. What happened to them? Luke 21:24 happened to them. No, don't have to read that. It's just there and so on. They were sold into slavery, into all over the world. They were led away captive, the Bible said in Luke 21:24, into all nations. They didn't hear the Lord's warning and so on, So at the end of time too, this time we are living in, so we believe that Zaka will make a way. We are just, unknowingly, right? It will happen with Jordan and Israel have a peace treaty for 30 years right now. So that's what I show you what happened, how they helped the U.S. and to down the drones, and also they started the ballistic missiles lately and so on. Just a type of what will happen in the future. Now as we speak, the ancient comet dubbed the comet of the century. It's called H3 for short. If you have been watching the news for yourself, has been visible with the naked eye since September 27 of this year, and will be visible through early November. And thereafter, it won't be seen again until 80,000 years from now. That's what they say, 80,000 years from now. Don't forget, before the destroyed Jerusalem, 66 AD, there was a bright comet scene, right? Now, what is happening now? This comet scene all over the world. Look at the news. You can see it tonight if you want to. You know, that is clear weather. So it won't come back again until 80,000 years before the comet of the century. What's happening? Look at the Middle East. Look at what is happening in Israel. I don't put anything to anything, but just historical records, you know, what is happening around the world and so on, you know. At least, God does not know what it means altogether, but we know, say there are the signs in the heavens, right? And signs of his coming, right? And then we know we are at the time of his coming. It's something worthy to know. Again, what is it? It's time to really watch, you know, the time we are living in and so on, that, you know. So, what finally will happen to the tribulation temple? So as I believe I show from the scripture that it's going to be running parallel with the month of Omar. Anyway, so that's what the Bible says, otherwise why are they mentioning it? Anyway, let's go. Let me finish with this one. What is going to happen to the tribulation temple? We know Herod's temple was pulled down in 70 AD by Titus. So what's going to happen to the tribulation temple? Well, while receiving the vision of the little horn, aka Antichrist. Daniel called it little horn in the vision. Book of Revelation called him the Antichrist. They are the same personality. Praise the Lord. Daniel the prophet had one saint, aka Parmoni, the secret number, or wonderful number, I call it, the margin and something like that, you know. And revealed that the sanctuary will be cleansed there after 2,300 days. Let's go to Daniel 8:13. Talking about what will happen to it, what will happen to the situation, what will happen to it at the end. So then I had one saint, that is Parmoni, it's called an imagine. Speaking, and another saint said unto that saint, certain saint, we speak. How long shall the division concerning the daily sacrifice, see? And the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So, right there, we are not we're not told directly in the Bible what will happen to the Association Temple, but we can infer something from some other prophecies in the Bible. What will happen to that temple? What is it? We can infer. Zechariah 14. The fourth verse spoke of a great earthquake. Let me read that. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Now, that's what I want to read and talk. As the mosque of Omar and the tribulation temple will be near the epicenter of this earthquake, it will seem that they will be destroyed. Again, we're not putting any dogmatism or this kind of a thing here. We are just reading the Bible and so on. Indeed, the cleavage of the earth at this point might indicate that the earth itself will swallow them up, both the temple of, both the mosque of Omar and the tribulation temple. Again, nothing to be dogmatic about here. So if that happens, this will indeed cleanse the sanctuary, as the Bible says, and clear the way for the building of the millennial temple. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. In short, let me just finish with these few words here. All I've been saying is that, you know, time is short. Amen? 1 Corinthians 7:29, the first one. But this I say, brethren, time is short. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Bible says the things which are certainly come to pass, right? And I believe that tribulation temple is not far off. Like we said, somebody said at the beginning of the service, things are happening, begin to pack your bag. Now, one more thing here. 1 Thessalonians 5:4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. We are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken and drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for our enemies the hope of salvation. Praise the Lord Jesus. Skip to verse 16, says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Pleasant or unpleasant. In everything, the Bible says, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last scripture here, after all, in Philippians. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things which must shortly come to pass. Say the time is at hand. And we are not children of the night. And that they should come upon us on our way. So therefore we thank you for putting us in remembrance in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And admonishing us, Lord, oh God, to be sober, to be vigilant, you know, watching and praying, rejoicing at the same time. When you see all these things coming to pass, the war and the rumors of war, he said, and commotions, he said in Luke 21, be not terrified, he says, you know, let not your heart know fear nor be afraid and so on. Peace I give with you. So, but rejoice, let us live for joy for our redemption dread night. Thank you for showing us the shortness of time. 1 Corinthians 7:29. Time is short. Lord, we thank you. Let us always be ready. Mark 13:35. Be ye also ready. In an hour you think not the Son of Man coming. That we may always be ready. Whether you come in the first watch or second watch or at midnight, whichever one, that we may be found ready in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the guarantee to supply all our need. As we trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We call Elijah's things right. What happened to him? Near that rapture, things were so bad. God has to supply supernaturally. Whatever is needed, God will supply. Because he so promised. For this we give you praise and glory. And we say, Lord, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. And everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. He's coming back again.